1803. But he that shall go forth out of thy viscera. That this signifies those who are in love to the Lord and in love towards the neighbor is evident from the signification of viscera and of going forth out of the viscera, which is to be born. And here it means those who are being born of the Lord. Those who are being born of the Lord, that is, who are being regenerated, receive the Lord's life. The Lord's life, as before said, is the divine love, that is, love towards the whole human race, or his will to eternally save, if possible, the whole of it, or all men. Those who have not the Lord's love, that is, who do not love the neighbor as themselves, never have the Lord's life, and therefore are never born of him, that is, have not come forth out of his viscera, and therefore they cannot be heirs of his kingdom. From which it is evident that by to go forth out of the viscera, in the internal sense, are here signified those who are in love to him and in love towards the neighbor. So in Isaiah, thus said Yahuwah thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Yahuwah thy God, who teacheth thee to go forward, who leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest walk. O that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, and thy peace had been as a river, and thy justice as the billows of the sea, and thy seed had been as the sand, and those who go forth out of thy viscera as the gravel thereof. 48, verses 17 to 19. The seed as the sand denotes good, and those who go forth out of the viscera as the gravel, truth. Thus those who have love, for these alone are in the love of good and truth. Moreover, in the word, viscera signify love or mercy, for the reason that the viscera of generation, especially the mother's womb, represent and thus signify chaste conjugal love, and the love for children that is derived from it. As in Isaiah, the stirring of thy viscera and of thy compassions toward me have restrained themselves. 63, verse 15. In Jeremiah, is not Ephraim a dear son unto me? Is he not a child of delights? Therefore my viscera are troubled for him. In mercy I will have mercy upon him. 31, verse 20. It is evident from this that the Lord's love itself, or mercy itself, and compassion towards the human race are what are signified in the internal sense by viscera, and by going forth out of the viscera. Consequently, by them that go forth out of the viscera are signified those who have love. That the Lord's kingdom is mutual love may be seen above. Number 548, 549, 684, 693, 694. 1804. He shall be thine heir. That this signifies that they shall become heirs is evident from the signification of an heir already treated of. 1805, verse 5. And he led him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and number the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He led him forth abroad, signifies the sight of the interior man, which from external things sees internal, and said, look now toward heaven. signifies a representation of the Lord's kingdom in a mental view of the universe. And number the stars signifies a representation of things good and true in a mental view of the constellations. If thou canst number them, signifies the fruitfulness of love and the multiplication of faith. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be, signifies the heirs of the Lord's kingdom. 1806. He led him forth abroad. That this signifies the sight of the interior man, which from things external sees things internal, may be seen from the signification of leading forth abroad in connection with what follows. Things internal are led forth when with the eyes of the body a man contemplates the starry heaven and thence thinks of the Lord's kingdom. Whenever a man sees anything with his eyes, and sees the things that he looks upon as if he saw them not, but from them sees or thinks of the things which are of the church or of heaven, then his interior sight, or that of his spirit or soul, is led forth abroad. The eye itself is properly nothing but the sight of his spirit led forth abroad. And this especially to the end, that he may see internal things from external. That is, that he may from the objects in the world reflect continually upon those which are in the other life. For this is the life for the sake of which he lives in the world. Such was the sight in the most ancient church. Such is the sight of the angels who are with man. And such was the Lord's sight. 1807. And said, Look now toward heaven. That this signifies a representation of the Lord's kingdom in a mental view of the universe may be seen from the signification of heaven. Heaven, in the word, in the internal sense, does not signify the heavens which appear to the eyes, but the Lord's kingdom, universally and particularly. When a man who is looking at internal things from external sees the heavens, he does not think at all of the starry heaven, but of the angelic heaven. And when he sees the sun, he does not think of the sun, but of the Lord, as being the Son of heaven. So too when he sees the moon and the stars also. And when he sees the immensity of the heavens, he does not think of their immensity, but of the immeasurable and infinite power of the Lord. It is the same when he sees all other things, for there is nothing that is not representative. Similarly, as regards the things on the earth, as when he beholds the dawning of the day, he does not think of the dawn, but of the arising of all things from the Lord, and of progression into the day of wisdom. So when he sees gardens, groves, and flower beds, his eye remains not fixed on any tree, its blossom, leaf, and fruit, but on the celestial things which these represent, nor on any flower and its beauty and pleasantness, but on what they represent in the other life. For there is nothing beautiful and delightful in the skies or on the earth, which is not in some way representative of the Lord's kingdom. Concerning which, see what is said, number 1632. This is the looking toward heaven, which signifies a representation of the Lord's kingdom in a mental view of the universe. The reason why all things in the sky and on earth are representative is that they have come forth and do continually come forth, that is, subsist, from the influx of the Lord through heaven. It is with these things that it is with the human body, which comes forth and subsists by means of the soul. on which account all things in the body, both in general and in particular, are representative of the soul. The soul is in the use and the end, but the body is in the performance of them. All effects, whatever they may be, are also representatives of the uses which are the causes, and the uses are representative of the ends which belong to the first principles. Those who are in divine ideas never take their stand in objects of the external sight, but from them and in them continually see internal things. The veriest internal things themselves are those which belong to the Lord's kingdom, thus those which are in the veriest end itself. It is the same with the word of the Lord. He who is in divine things never regards the Lord's word from the letter, but regards the letter and the literal sense as being representative and significative of the celestial and spiritual things of the church and of the Lord's kingdom. To him, the literal sense is merely an instrumental means for thinking about these. Such was the Lord's sight. 1808. And number the stars. That this signifies a representation of what is good and true in a mental view of the constellations is evident from what has just been said, and also from the representation and signification of the stars as being things good and true. The stars are frequently mentioned in the word, and everywhere they signify things good and true, and also, in the contrary sense, things evil and false. Or what is the same, they signify angels or societies of angels, and also in the contrary sense, evil spirits and their associations. When they signify angels or societies of angels, they are then fixed stars. But when evil spirits and their associations, they are wandering stars, as I have very frequently seen. That all things in the skies and on the earth are representative of celestial and spiritual things has been evidenced by this plain indication. That things similar to those which appear before the eyes in the sky and on the earth are also presented to view in the world of spirits, and this as plainly as in clear day. And there they are nothing but representatives. For instance, when the starry heaven appears, and the stars therein are fixed, it is instantly known that they signify things good and true. And when the stars appear wandering, it is instantly known that they signify things evil and false. From the very glow and sparkle of the stars, it may also be known of what kind they are, besides numberless other things. Hence, if one is willing to think wisely, he may know what is the origin of all things on the earth, namely, that it is the Lord. And the reason why they come forth on the earth, not ideally, but actually, is that all things, both celestial and spiritual, which are from the Lord, are living and essential, or, as they are called, substantial. And therefore they come forth into actual existence in ultimate nature. See number 1632. That the stars represent and signify things good and true may be seen from the following passages in the Word. In Isaiah, the stars of the heavens and the constellations thereof shine not with their light. The sun has been darkened in his going forth, and the moon doth not cause her light to shine. And I will visit evil upon the world, and their iniquity upon the wicked. 13, verses 10 and 11. Here the day of visitation is treated of. Everyone can see that by the stars and constellations Here are not meant the stars and constellations, but things true and good. And by the sun, love, and by the moon, faith. For the evils and falsities which cause darkness are treated of. In Ezekiel, when I shall extinguish thee, I will cover the heavens, and make the stars thereof black. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not make her light to shine. All the luminaries of light I will make black over thee, and will set darkness upon thy land. 32 verses 7 and 8. Here the meaning is similar. In Joel, the earth quaked before him, the heavens trembled, the sun and the moon were blackened, and the stars withdrew their shining. 2, verse 10. Also 3, verse 15. Here the meaning is similar. In David, praise Yahuwah, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. Psalm 148, verses 3 and 4. This means the same, that by the stars are not meant the stars, but things good and true, or what is the same, those who are in things good and true, as the angels are. Is plainly said in John. I saw the Son of Man, and he had in his right hand seven stars. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest upon my right hand, and the seven candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation 1, verses 13, 16, and 20. Again, the fourth angel sounded, so that the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, that the third part of them should be darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night in like manner. Revelation 8, verse 12, where it is clearly evident that what is good and true was darkened. In Daniel, there came forth a little horn, which grew exceedingly toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the glory. And it grew even to the host of the heavens. And some of the host and of the stars is cast down to the earth, and trampled upon them. 8, verses 9 and 10. These words plainly show that the host of the heavens and the stars are things good and true which were trampled upon. From these passages may be seen what is meant by the words of the Lord in Matthew. In the consummation of the age, immediately after the affliction of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. 24, verse 29. And in Luke, there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in despair, the sea and the waves roaring. 21, verse 25. Here by the sun is not meant at all, nor by the moon, nor by the stars, nor by the sea, but the things which they represent, namely, by the sun, the celestial things of love, by the moon, the spiritual things, by the stars, things good and true, that is, the cognitions of what is good and true, which are thus darkened near the consummation of the age, when there is no faith, that is, no charity. 1809. If thou canst number them. That this signifies the fruitfulness of love and the multiplication of faith, or what is the same, the fruitfulness of good and the multiplication of truth, may be seen without explanation. For the words plainly mean that they cannot be numbered. 1810. So shall thy seed be. That this signifies the heirs of the Lord's kingdom is evident from the signification of seed, as being love and the faith derived from it. Or what is the same, those who are in love and faith, both angels and men. That seed has this signification has already in various places been stated and shown. These words signify in general the Lord's kingdom, which is so vast and numerous that no one can ever credit it, so that it can only be expressed by immense. Its immensity will of the Lord's divine mercy be treated of elsewhere. It is what is here signified by the words of this verse. Look now toward heaven and number the stars, if thou canst number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. These words also signify the innumerable goods and truths of wisdom and intelligence, together with their attendant happiness in every angel. 1811. Verse 6. And he believed in Yahuwah, and he imputed it to him for justice. He believed in Yahuwah signifies the Lord's faith at that time. And he imputed it to him for justice signifies that herein the Lord first became justice. 1812. He believed in Yahuwah. That this signifies the Lord's faith at that time is evident from the very words, and also from the connection of things in the internal sense, which is that while he lived in the world, the Lord was in continual combats of temptations, and in continual victories, from a constant inmost confidence and faith, that because he was fighting for the salvation of the whole human race from pure love, he could not but conquer, which is here meant by believing in Yahuwah. From the love from which anyone fights, it is known what his faith is. He who fights from any other love than love towards the neighbor and towards the Lord's kingdom does not fight from faith. That is, does not believe in Yahuwah, but in that which he loves, for the love itself for which he fights is his faith. For example, he who fights from the love of becoming the greatest in heaven does not believe in Yahuwah, but rather in himself. For to desire to become the greatest is to desire to command others. Thus he fights for command. And so in all other cases. And thus from the love itself, from which anyone fights, it may be known what his faith is. But in all his combats of temptations, the Lord never fought from the love of self or for himself, but for all in the universe. Consequently, not that he might become the greatest in heaven, for this is contrary to the divine love, and scarcely even that he might be the least, but only that all others might become something and be saved. As he also says in Mark. The two sons of Zebedee said, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy glory. Jesus said, Whoever would be great among you shall be your minister, and whoever would be first among you shall be servant of all. For the Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as the price of redemption for many. 10, verse 37, 43-45. This is the love, or this is the faith, from which the Lord fought, and which is here meant by believing in Yahuwah. 1813. He imputed it to him for justice. That this signifies that herein the Lord first became justice may also be seen from the connection of things in the internal sense in which the Lord is treated of. That the Lord alone became justice for the whole human race may be seen from the fact that he alone fought from divine love, namely, from love towards the whole human race, whose salvation was what in his combats he solely desired and longed for. In regard to his human essence, the Lord was not born justice, but became justice through the combats of temptations and victories, and this from his own power. As often as he fought and overcame, this was imputed to him for justice. That is, it was added to the justice that he was becoming by a continual increase until he became pure justice. A man who is born of a human father or of the seed of a human father, when fighting from himself, cannot fight from any other love than the love of self and of the world. Thus not from celestial love, but from infernal love. For such is the character of his proprium from his father, in addition to the proprium acquired by his own conduct. Therefore he who supposes that he fights from himself against the devil is greatly mistaken. Similarly, he who desires to make himself just by his own powers, that is, to believe that the goods of charity and the truths of faith are from himself, consequently that he merits heaven by them, acts and thinks against the good and truth of faith. For it is a truth of faith, that is, it is the truth itself, that it is the Lord who fights. And therefore, because he then acts and thinks against the truth of faith, he takes away from the Lord what is his, and makes what is the Lord's to be his own. Or what is the same, he substitutes self, thus that in himself which is infernal, in the Lord's place. Hence it is that such men desire to become great or the greatest in heaven. And hence it is that they falsely believe that the Lord fought against the hells in order that he might be the greatest. The human proprium is attended with such fantasies, which appear as if they were truths, but are quite the contrary. That the Lord came into the world in order to become justice, and that he alone is justice, was also foretold by the prophets, and therefore this could have been known before his coming. And also that he could not become justice except through temptations, and victories over all evils and all the hells. As in Jeremiah. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in confidence. And this is his name whereby they shall call him, Yahuwah our Justice. 23, verse 6. In the same. In those days and in that time will I cause an offshoot of justice to grow unto David, and he shall do judgment and justice in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in confidence. And this is what they shall call him, Yahuwah our Justice. 33, verses 15 and 16. In Isaiah, he saw, and there was no man, and he wondered that there was none to intercede. And his arm brought salvation unto him, and his justice it upheld him. And he put on justice as a coat of mail, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. 59, verses 16 and 17. See especially Isaiah 63, verses 3 and 5. His arm means his own power. Because the Lord alone is justice, the habitation of justice also is mentioned in Jeremiah 31, verse 23, 50, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am Yahweh, who led thee forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. He said unto him, I am Yahweh, signifies the Lord's internal man, which was Yahweh, and from which he had perception. Who led thee forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, signifies the first state of the external man. To give thee this land to inherit it, signifies the Lord's kingdom, of which he alone is the possessor. 1815. He said unto him, I am Yahweh. That this signifies the Lord's internal man, which is Yahweh, and from which he had perception, is evident from what has been already said, namely, that the Lord's internal, that is, whatever the Lord received from the Father, was Yahweh in him, for he was conceived from Yahweh. What a man receives from his father is one thing, and what he receives from his mother is another. From his father, a man receives all that is internal, his soul itself or life being from the father. But he receives from his mother all that is external. In a word, the interior man or spirit itself is from the father, but the outer man or body itself is from the mother. Which everyone can comprehend merely from the fact that the soul itself is implanted by the Father, and this begins to clothe itself in a little bodily form in the ovule. Whatever is afterwards added, whether in the ovule or in the womb, is from the mother, for it has no increase from anywhere else. It may be seen from this that as to his internals, the Lord was Yahweh. But because the external which the Lord received from the mother was to be united to the divine or Yahweh, and this through temptations and victories, as before said, it could not appear otherwise to him in those states than that when he spoke with Yahweh, it was, as it were, with another, when yet he spoke with himself, that is, so far as he was in a state of conjunction. The Lord's perception, which he had in the highest perfection above all who have been born, was from his internal, that is, from Yahweh himself, which is here signified in the internal sense, by the words, Yahweh said unto him. 1816. Who led thee forth out of Ur of the Chaldees. That this signifies the first state of his external man may be seen from the signification of Ur of the Chaldees. The maternal which the Lord received from birth, or the inheritance from the mother, is what is here signified by Ur of the Chaldees. The nature of this has been described before. It was out of this maternal, or this inheritance from the mother, that he was led forth whenever he conquered evils and falsities, that is, the hells. 1817. To give thee this land to inherit it. That this signifies the Lord's kingdom, of which he alone is the possessor, is evident from the signification of the land, here the Holy Land, or land of Canaan, as being the celestial kingdom, and also from the signification of inheriting, spoken of several times before. To inherit the land, signifying to possess the celestial kingdom, is here predicated of the Lord's human essence. For as to the divine essence, he was the possessor of the universe, consequently of the celestial kingdom from eternity. 1818, verse 8. And he said, Lord Yahweh, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He said, Lord Yahweh, signifies a conversation, as it were, of the interior man with the internal. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Signifies a temptation against the Lord's love, which desired to be fully assured. 1819. He said, Lord Yahweh, that this signifies a conversation, as it were, of the interior man with the internal, is evident from what was said in the preceding verse in connection with the words, Yahuwah said unto him, and also from what was said at verse 2 of this chapter concerning the Lord Yahweh, as denoting the conversation of the interior man with the internal, or Yahuwah, especially when he was in temptation. 1820. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? That this signifies a temptation against the Lord's love, which desired to be fully assured, may be seen from the doubt that is implied in the words themselves. He who is in temptation is in doubt concerning the end in view. The end in view is the love, against which the evil spirits and evil genii fight, and thereby put the end in doubt. And the greater the love is, the more do they put it in doubt. If the end which is loved were not put in doubt, and indeed in despair, there would be no temptation. Assurance respecting the result precedes the victory, and belongs to the victory. As few know how the case is with temptations, it may here be briefly explained. Evil spirits never fight against other things than those which the man loves. The more ardently he loves them, the more fiercely do they wage the combat. It is evil genii who fight against the things that pertain to the affection of good, and evil spirits that fight against those which pertain to the affection of truth. As soon as they notice even the smallest thing that a man loves, or perceive, as it were, by scent what is delightful and dear to him, they forthwith assault it and endeavor to destroy it, and thereby the whole man. For man's life consists in his loves. Nothing is more delightful to them than to destroy a man in this way, nor would they desist even to eternity unless they were driven away by the Lord. Those who are malignant and crafty insinuate themselves into man's very loves by flattering them, and thus bring the man among themselves, and presently, when they have brought him in, they attempt to destroy his loves, and thereby murder the man, and this in a thousand ways that cannot be comprehended. Nor do they wage the combat simply by reasoning against things good and true, Because such combats are of no account. For if they were vanquished 1,000 times, they would still persist, since reasonings against goods and truths can never be wanting. But they pervert the goods and truths, and inflame with a certain fire of cupidity and persuasion, so that the man does not know otherwise than that he is in similar cupidity and persuasion. And at the same time they enkindle these with delight, that they snatch from the man's delight in something else. And in this way they most deceitfully infect and infest him. And this they do with so much skill, by leading him on from one thing to another, that if the Lord did not aid him, the man would never know but that the case was really so. They act in a similar way against the affections of truth that make the conscience. As soon as they perceive anything of whatever kind from conscience, then from the falsities and failings in the man they form to themselves an affection. And by means of this they cast a shade over the light of truth, and so pervert it, or they induce anxiety and torture him. They also hold the thought persistently in one thing, and thus fill it with fantasies. And at the same time they clandestinely clothe the cupidities with the fantasies, besides innumerable other arts which cannot possibly be described so as to be apprehended. These are a few of the means, and only the most general, by which they can make their way to man's conscience. For this above all else, they take the greatest delight in destroying. From these few statements, and they are very few, it may be seen what temptations are, and that they are in general such as the loves are. And from this we may see what was the nature of the Lord's temptations, that they were the most terrible of all. For as is the greatness of the love, so is the fearful character of the temptation. The Lord's love was the salvation of the whole human race, and was most ardent. Consequently, it was the whole sum of the affection of good and affection of truth in the highest degree. Against these, with the most malignant wiles and venom, all the hells waged the combat. But still the Lord conquered them all by his own power. Victories are attended with the result that the malignant genii and spirits afterwards dare not do anything. For their life consists in their being able to destroy. And when they perceive that a man is able to resist, then at the first onset they flee away, as they are wont to do when they draw near to the first entrance to heaven. For they are at once seized with horror and terror, and hurl themselves backwards. Verse 9. And he said unto him, Take thee a heifer of 3 years, and a she-goat of 3 years, and a ram of 3 years, and a turtle-dove, and a young pigeon. And he said unto him, signifies perception. Take a heifer of 3 years, and a she-goat of 3 years, and a ram of 3 years. Signifies the representatives of the celestial things of the church. A heifer being representative of exterior celestial things, a she-goat of interior celestial things, and a ram of spiritual celestial things. They were to be 3 years old, because they were to involve all things of the church as to times and states. And a turtle dove and a young pigeon signifies the representatives of the spiritual things of the church. A turtle dove, those which are exterior, and a young pigeon, those which are interior. 1822. He said unto him, that this signifies perception is evident from what was said above at verses 2 and 7. Perception itself is nothing else but a kind of internal speech, which internal speech manifests itself by being perceived. All interior dictate and even conscience is nothing else. But perception is a higher or more interior degree of it. Take a heifer of 3 years, and a she-goat of 3 years, and a ram of 3 years. That this signifies the representatives of the celestial things of the church is evident from the signification of the same animals in the sacrifices. No one who thinks sanely can believe that the various animals that were sacrificed signified nothing but sacrifices, or that an ox and a bullock or a calf signified the same as a sheep, a kid, and a she-goat, and these the same as a lamb, and that a turtle dove signified the same as young pigeons, the fact being that every animal had its own special signification. This may be sufficiently evident from the fact that in no case was one offered instead of another, and that those are expressly named that were to be used in the daily burnt offerings and sacrifices, those on the Sabbaths and festivals, those used in free will offerings, vows, and peace offerings, those in expiation of guilt and sin, and those in purifications. This would never have been the case unless something special had been represented and signified by each animal. But what was signified by each particular kind would be too tedious to explain here. It is here sufficient to know that celestial things were signified by the animals, and spiritual things by the birds. And by each kind, some special celestial or spiritual thing. The Jewish church itself, and all things relating to it, were representative of such things as belong to the Lord's kingdom, where there is nothing but what is celestial and spiritual. That is, nothing but what is of love and of faith. As may also be sufficiently evident from the signification of the clean and useful beasts, explained above. Number 45, 46, 142, 143, 246, 714, 715, 776. As in the most ancient churches, these were significative of celestial goods. They afterwards became representative in the church, when worship, merely external, which was also representative, was valued and acknowledged. As the state of the church is here treated of, and it is foretold what that state is to be, this was shown to Abram by similar representatives, exactly as is here related. But still such things are signified in the internal sense, as indeed everyone may know and think. For what would be the need of taking a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon, of dividing them into two parts and placing them so, unless everything had been significative? But what these things signified may be seen from what follows. 1824. That a heifer signifies the representatives of exterior celestial things, a she-goat the representatives of interior celestial things, and a ram those of spiritual celestial things, may be seen from the sacrifices, concerning which, of the Lord's divine mercy, more will be said hereafter, where the sacrifices are treated of. There are exterior celestial things and interior celestial things, as well as spiritual celestial things. Exterior celestial things are those that are of the external man. Interior celestial things are those that are of the internal man. And spiritual celestial things are those that are derived from these. The celestial itself is love to the Lord and love towards the neighbor. This celestial flows in from the Lord and, in fact, through the internal man into the external. In the interior man, this is called the interior celestial. In the exterior man, the exterior celestial. The exterior celestial is all the affection of good. Nay, it is also all the pleasure which comes from the affection of good. So far as the good of love and of charity is in these, that is, in the affection of good and in the pleasure derived from it, so far the celestial is in them, and also happiness. But the spiritual celestial is all the affection of truth in which there is the affection of good, or the affection of truth which is begotten by the affection of good. Thus it is faith in which is charity, or faith which is begotten by charity. That 3 years old involves all things of the church as to times and states is evident from the signification of three in the word. By three is signified the full time of the church from its origin even to its end, and thus all its state. The last time of the church is therefore signified by the third day, the third week, the third month, the third year, and the third age, which are all the same. As the state of the church is signified by the number three, so also is the state of everyone who is a church, and everything which is of the church, as may be seen from the signification of this number in the passages adduced from the word, number 720, 901. That a heifer of 3 years thus signifies the time or state of the church even to the last, that is, when it has been vastated or made desolate, may also be seen in Isaiah. My heart crieth out upon Moab. Her fugitives are unto Zoar, a heifer of 3 years old. For by the ascent of Luhith, with weeping he shall go up in it. For in the way of Horonaim they shall raise up a cry of breaking to pieces. 15:5. Also in Jeremiah, gladness and exultation are gathered from Carmel and from the land of Moab. And I will make wine to cease from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. The shouting shall be no shouting. From the cry of Heshbon, even unto Elah Elah, even unto Jahaz, have they uttered their voice. From Zoar, even unto Horonaim, a heifer of 3 years old. For the waters of Nimrim also shall become desolations. 48:33-34. No one could possibly perceive what these things mean unless he knew what is signified by Moab, by Zoar, the ascent of Luhith, the cry of Heshbon unto Elah Elah, by Jahaz, by Horonaim, the waters of Nimrim, and by a heifer 3 years old. That final vastation is signified is plain. 1826. And a turtle dove and a young pigeon. That this signifies the representatives of the spiritual things of the church is evident from the signification of birds in general, and of turtle doves and pigeons in particular. That birds signify spiritual things, which are those of faith or of truth, and therefore are intellectual and rational things, was shown above. Number 40, 745, 776, 9:91. Also that doves signify the goods and truths of faith, number 870. What they signified in the sacrifices shall of the Lord's divine mercy be stated in what follows, where the sacrifices are treated of. In the word, especially in the prophetic part, when celestial things are spoken of, spiritual things also are spoken of. And in this way they are conjoined, because the one is from the other, so that the one is the other's. As before said, number 639, 680, 683, 707, 793, 801. 1827. That a turtle dove signifies the representatives of exterior spiritual things, and a young pigeon the representatives of interior spiritual things, may be seen from what has been said respecting celestial things, of which the exterior were signified by the heifer, the interior by the she-goat, and the intermediate by the ram.